Well, we hope you had a good weekend. Jerry Usher, Debbie Giorgiani checking in here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. So you're probably either saying today it's about time it's Monday, or you're saying I can't believe it's already Monday. So in either case, welcome to the first episode of our show for this week. And Debbie, I hope that you and Marty had a good weekend.
We did. We had a wonderful weekend. Father at Mass did an exceptional, just beautiful blessing for all the fathers at after Mass, and it was really wonderful. He called all the children up, and he blessed everyone with holy water, and he had all the children look out to the in the congregation and just say thank you to the fathers. It was just so beautiful. And then he shared that his father had passed away, the priest's father had passed away, and he'll always, you know, it's just always a big day for him because he's thinking of his father, who he hopes that now is in heaven. And it's just, it was just wonderful, Jerry. And then I got a call from a friend of mine who works in a very popular restaurant here in Arizona. And she told me that the place, the restaurant was packed with families, large parties, families celebrating Father's Day. And that just warmed my heart, you know, just to think of all the families getting together. And, you know, I hope a lot of dads really enjoyed the weekend.
Yeah, thank God we still have holidays like that, Mother's Day and Father's Day. One cannot help, I don't think, Debbie, but wonder and even fear a little bit how these holidays are going to morph as we move forward with, two parents of the same sex in a family and transgender, you know, all this True. Stuff. It's going to be like, what is Mother's Day and Father's Day going to look like, you know, in 25 years? Kind of like what Jesus said, will the Son of Man find faith when he returns? So. Anyway, we've got, I think, a very interesting topic today and one that we're going to get a lot of participation on, I imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wanted to share this, too, real quickly, if I can rewind a little bit. We our anniversary, four-year anniversary for Take Two was Saturday, and we received so many compliments and kind words and encouragement and affirmations and everything from the Take Two family, just saying how much they loved journeying the last 4 years. Some have been with us from the very beginning. Some jumped in a little bit late, but that's good because you just jumped right into the family head first, and that's a good thing. And we just had some wonderful, wonderful comments. So thank you to everyone that took the time to share with us just how pleased you are with Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. And then we did our first after show on Friday, Jerry, and we had quite a few watching during the after show. We had just some minor technical glitches, but you've got them all worked out, Jerry, which is great. But there was hundreds and hundreds of views of the after show, and everybody just thought it was really neat, all the things we have planned. And so, again, thank you to everybody. You know, of course, EWTN, our show team, Rich and Jeff and Ryan and Michael and Mike and Tom and everybody and Jack. You know, it's been such a wonderful launch to be able to do this, to keep the conversation going. And then thanks, of course, to the Take Two family for all of your support. So I think I got it covered, Jerry. I thanked everybody.
Yeah, we're anticipating, God willing, doing the next after show on Wednesday of this week. Tomorrow, the topic is That Didn't Hurt a Bit. Tell us about your return to confession after maybe some period of time. Wednesday, we're going to revisit the opioid problem. We did parts one and two, how opiates and dangerous drugs and things like that have impacted our families, and many of you have lost loved ones. It's very, very tragic, but there was so much participation on the first time we did that. We did part two, but now with the after show, we don't need to do part twos. We can just continue part one on our Facebook page. So that's what we're looking at on Wednesday, so keep that in mind. But today, Debbie, we want to hear from you, our listeners. If you can recommend a good, solid, meaty, beefy, helpful, inspiring Catholic book.
Right.
It's got to meet all those criteria.
Church approved, too.
Yeah.
Yes. This topic was suggested by our friend Gigi in New Jersey. And she said, you know, let's build our Catholic library with wonderful books by Father Benedict Groeschel, Peter Kreeft. It goes on and on. Just wonderful, solid Catholic authors that we can build our library to grow our faith. You know, Jerry, my favorite is Eucharistic Miracles by Joan Carol Cruz. My favorite. She also did a great book on angels and demons. Great book. So we want to build our Catholic library by you recommending solid Catholic, good standing books. And what we mean by that is there's a lot of great books out there, a lot of inspirational books, a lot of spiritual books, a lot of Christian books, and even a lot of Catholic books that may not be what's the best way to say it, Jerry? In really good standing with the church and, not at all, against any doctrinal issues or any moral issues of the church. And so, we want to make sure we stay in that lane, if you will, because that's where we know we are going to be on a solid path of understanding, especially when it comes in terms of our Catholic faith. Did I kind of do that disclaimer okay or what?
Yeah, very, very well. Yeah. The bottom line is, there are many Catholic books, quote unquote Catholic books, that really are not consistent with the faith, that sometimes subtly or not so subtly challenge or attack some aspects of our faith. So we want to be careful about that. Sometimes, again, they're very, very subtle. They could be philosophical issues, a little bit of New Age creeping in there and stuff like that. And on the other hand, there are many, many wonderful Catholic books. It doesn't necessarily require that they have the imprimatur or the nihil obstat. If they do have those, then it really is generally considered to be a much more dependable book. But tell us about a good Catholic book that you would like to recommend. It could be a Bible commentary. It could be a novel that's sort of based around Catholic themes. I have a few here, Debbie, that I was going to mention.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, go
please
ahead.
Do.
Well,
no. I want to hear.
No, what's
I shared mine. Joan Carol Cruz. Oh. I love her books. The Angels and Devils and the Eucharistic Miracles and the Incorruptibles, all about the incorruptible, the saints that their bodies did not decompose. Very interesting.
Right.
So Joan Carol Cruz, the late Joan Carol Cruz, she passed away. I hope she is enjoying her eternal reward. She did some great work here on earth. Jerry, what about you?
Well, I have admitted on this show many times I have not been as much of a reader as I should be over the years, and I have a spiritual director now who makes sure that I have changed that. So, but I am grateful to him because I'm still reading How to Profit from Your Faults by Joseph Tiso, and it is mainly quotes from St. Francis de Sales and others about how we can look at our faults, our sins, our weaknesses, our misery, and feel actually good about them. Not that we commit sins, but that we need God's mercy because of them. And so it makes, in fact, he talks about and God wanting to enthrone God's mercy upon our misery. So it's a beautiful book. I've also got St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and the Sacred Heart of Jesus right there.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
A priest friend of mine wrote under the name Elijah John, Imagination Gone Wild. He thinks we have to recapture our imaginations. And then Catherine Doherty, Postinia, Encountering God in Silent Solitude and Prayer. So,
wow.
Anyway.
Okay. Well, we want you to recommend your good Catholic book when we come back. We do take your suggestions, and then we do put them on the show calendar, and we take on topics that you want to learn more about. And Gigi recommended this topic about building our Catholic library, and that's what we're asking you to help us with that. Just real quickly, I wanted to share that the Sunrise Morning Show is tomorrow morning, 6 Eastern Time. Sunrise Morning Show, 6 Eastern Time. Folks, please check it out. It's a fantastic show. You learn so much, and it's a great way to start your morning. Real quickly, Jerry, I wanted to switch gears for a second. You mentioned the book that you are reading still, and it is How to Profit from Your Faults. Just wanted to let you know that our friend Tony weighed in, and Tony said, because of your recommendation, Jerry, she is reading it as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, and then she's going to move on to some more books, and she's going to get to also, which we know this is going to be a popular one, so I'll say it right up front, and thank you, Tony, for recommending this again, Why We Are Catholic by Trent Horn. Why We Are Catholic by Trent Horn. So I'm putting that on the list to build our library. I already have that book, so I don't have to go out and buy it, so that's a good one. But I don't have the one that you recommended, Jerry, and sounds like Tony's really getting a lot out of it. So how about you? Are you getting a lot out of it?
You know how much I'm getting out of it, Debbie? I've been reading the book for probably 4 or 5 months, and it's maybe 200 pages, and I am still maybe about halfway through. And the reason is because I'll sit down to read when I'm in my prayer time, and I could read 2, 3, 4 pages, or I could read a sentence, and I just say, I got to stop right there. just read one or two sentences or a paragraph, and then I'll reread it, rethink it in my mind, almost do that. What's Lectio Divina is kind of what
meditate
that's called.
On
so,
it.
Yeah, it's just one of those books that you can really chew on even a single sentence or a short paragraph for a long time. So, and besides, I don't think I have anywhere to go. I mean, I got time to finish that book, good Lord willing, and get into some of these other ones. So
yeah. Well, this is good. It's a good thing to do to build our resources and to grow in our faith. And you know me, I'm adult formation all the way, Jerry. So I believe we have to continually be learning about our faith and growing in our faith until we take our very last breath here on earth. So if you want to weigh in on this and on how you increase your or deepen your faith life and your faith journey, we want to hear what books have helped you, what Catholic books have helped you. 1-833-288-3986. And as always, we have those full phone lines here on Take Two. That means you have a lot to say about this. So let's move to our first up caller, Julia in Massachusetts, listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Julia. Welcome.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Doing well, Julia. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. I would like to recommend a book written by my cousin. And okay. His name is Pat Corbett. And he lived in New Jersey. And I say lived because he now lives in heaven. He died a month ago.
Oh. Okay. Tell us about your cousin. Yeah.
Okay. He's very well publicized online. But this particular book is all about adults with children going to CCD. And it's called Drop 'em Off, Pick 'em Up. Meaning they will drop them off at the classroom, but they won't go to church themselves.
Oh.
So basically it's very, very much geared toward younger families, and he's even zeroing in on the middle school years.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, actually, Julia, I was just looking that book up online, and it looks like an interesting read, and the review starts out, like it or not, Catholic religious education, I love this, is a mom-and-pop industry. It starts, grows, and is sustained at home. And his parish religious education programs can be great, and Debbie, you know all about that, but nothing lasting happens without you, the parents. So time to get engaged in parenting, and it's not all that daunting a task. So it sounds like a really good read, especially like Julia said, Debbie, for younger families today who really want to make sure their kids look out at this world and direction it's going today, and they say, I don't want my kids to be swept away by that.
Mm-hmm. So tell us, Julia, first of all, I just want to say sorry. I'm so sorry for your loss. It sounds like your cousin did just some great work with their writings, and it's really helped people. What has the religious education world, how have they accepted? And please forgive me. Did you say is your cousin a male or female?
He's a male.
Male, okay.
Pat is short for Patrick.
Patrick, okay. I just wanted to make sure. Okay, so how did the religious education world accept his book? Because that is fascinating. I'm sorry I didn't know your cousin as an author. I'm going to definitely check this out because that is fascinating. People in religious education, CCD, as some people call it, that could really help. Have you heard any feedback that when that book circulated?
I truly don't know because the book came out last year, and I actually gave several copies to the religious educators in my own parish, and the director of adult faith formation was considering having him come and speak. Up here.
Oh, okay.
So he was getting together, putting the show on the road, as it were. And then, unfortunately, he got ill and it wasn't able to come to pass.
Mm.
So maybe somebody will pick up the banner and take the book and make a curriculum out of it even.
Well, I'll tell you what, as you said, that even the title, it's so true. It's unfortunate because that's why a lot of people are hesitant to jump into the religious education circle and be catechists, because they don't want that responsibility. They don't want to be the parents, the primary religious educators, and also their, once a week religious education class teacher. They want to just be there to help what has been fostered in the family. And so the very interesting title. So I'm going to check it out, Julia. Thank you so much. What do you think,
okay.
Jerry? Yeah.
No, Julia, thank you so much. I'm glad that you made that recommendation. And maybe there are some young parents, young families who will take you up on the suggestion and go look it up. Like I did, I found it on Amazon, and it sounds like a pretty good book. So, Julia, thank you for helping us out with that. We appreciate it so much. We're going to go back to your phone.
You are quite welcome. It's very easy to read.
Good, good. That's always helpful, too. You know, parents are busy, and they need to be able to get through something rather quickly and a nice, popular-style read. So I'm sure that that's what it is. Thank you, Julia, very much for your call.
You're quite welcome. Thank you very much.
833-288-3986. And we're going to go to Don in Northbrook, Illinois, listening on Sirius XM 130. Hi, Don. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty well, Don. How about you?
Terrific. Anyway, I had a couple of books to recommend. One is a book by Father Robert Spitzer, and it's called The Ten Universal Principles, where he takes the issue, the pro-life issue, really, and without actually getting into any Christian beliefs, Catholic beliefs, but explains how we should be pro-life strictly through logic. And it's an excellent book. Very easy to understand. Fairly small book, maybe 150 pages, something like that. And very valuable to use in a thinking process if you are pro-life or if you're not pro-life.
Well, Don, I know you've got another one, but I wanted to mention that book by Father Spitzer, Ten Universal Principles, is in the EWTN Religious Catalog, EWTNRC.com. And those who are watching the stream of the show, Don, on Facebook and Twitter, or YouTube, rather, saw me break out in a huge smile when you said it's a rather small book, because with Father Spitzer, I was thinking you were going to say it's a rather small book, about 600 pages. Because that man has got so much knowledge and wisdom, and he's holy, too. And so he imparts that to us. But what's the other one you wanted to recommend?
The other one is for somebody who is serious about reading the Bible and might be a little put off with it, maybe as a daunting task. But if you are serious, there's a book, and I'm trying to remember the author's name. His last name is Petrie.
Brandt, maybe? Brandt Petrie?
And it's called The Catholic Introduction to the Bible, Old Testament. So it's all about the Old Testament. When I said it was a little daunting, it is about 1,000 pages.
Wow.
But it is. Very thorough, running from Genesis through Second Maccabees. And if you want to understand the Old Testament, the idea is to read the chapter on Genesis and see what it's about, what its themes are, and so forth, and then read Genesis. You get a whole lot of value out of reading the Bible if you know what it is you're reading about.
Yeah, no question. And Deb, do you want to?
Wow, great suggestions.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Well, and the thing I love about books on Scripture, Don, and I'm sure you've discovered this as well, So many times we as Catholic Christians get the charge or the accusation thrown at us by Bible Christians, quote-unquote, or evangelicals who love Scripture, and thank God that they do. But we often get accused of not being well enough versed in the Bible and in Scriptures. Well, actually, Debbie, as we know at Mass, over the three-year period, we have the Cycle A, Cycle B, Cycle C, and we do cover the entirety of Scripture in Mass. But the Church, Debbie, encourages us to take on spiritual reading of Scripture, praying over it, and really studying it, rolling up our sleeves and studying it like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. That's a reason why we're doing this show, Donna, and we just thank you so much for for making us aware again for those wonderful books. And we will definitely be able to hope. I hope folks are taking notes on this so they can, visit EWTNRC and see what books are there, and they can pick them up and start building their Catholic library. Thank you, Don. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. And thank you for being a first time caller.
Absolutely. Thank you, Don. All right, we're going to go to social media and email. First of all, on social media, Michael, who is a regular listener, a regular viewer, says, "Hey, Michael, how you doing?" Says the Summa Theologiae, Summa Theologiae by St. Thomas Aquinas. That is the collection of most of the writings of St. Thomas. And if you talk about brains, I mean, Father Spitzer is a brilliant mind. St. Thomas is almost unparalleled in the history of the church, simply because God gifted him so much intellectually, but also prayerfully. He was a very holy man, and I believe, my understanding is, he had a kind of an experience of God late in his life, and he called all of his work, it's just a bunch of straw. Well, Debbie, if that's just a bunch of straw, then I would hate to stand before God with the measly works that I've done in my life. But so, Michael, thank you for that. We appreciate
that. Michael.
And we've got some emails we can get to shortly here, too. But Deb, you want to take us back to...
Yeah, I just wanted to say that Gigi, who recommended this show, does have a pen and pad out, and she's taking notes on everything. So good deal, Gigi. I'm glad you're going to be building your Catholic library. Let's hope thousands that are listening right now are doing the same thing.
Jerry? We need to establish a rule.
If
someone suggests a topic and we put it on the show calendar, they have to call that day.
That's what I said. I tried
Come
to force
on, Gigi.
Gigi to call in. I know.
We're just kidding you.
I love that.
Sort
they
of.
Could get,
not really.
They could, not really. Yeah. They could get a virtual award, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So there is a couple open phone lines. If you'd like to suggest your Catholic favorite book that you would like to impart to the rest of us so we can build our libraries, please go right ahead at 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986.
Okay, who do we have next here? Let me go to the handy-dandy call screen, and it looks like Bernard in Dubois, Pennsylvania. I hope I said that right, Bernard, listening on EWTN.com. Did I get the name of your city right, Bernard? Dubois or Dubois?
It's Dubois.
Dubois, okay.
Dubois.
Very good. Well, it's good to have you with us, Bernard. What would you like to share?
One of my favorite books is Champions of the Rosary by Father Don Calloway.
Me too, and I have it. If I could move away from the microphone, Bernard, I would reach it because it's just about, 6 feet away from me, and I love the book. Father Donald Calloway did a fabulous job on Champions of the Rosary. Big book, solid, you learn so much, and Bernard, would you agree with this? You just absolutely fall I don't know how you can fall more in love with the rosary, but you do after reading Father Donald Calloway's, all his books on the rosaries. What do you think, Bernard?
Right. Many very powerful insights into the history and Marian apparitions, church approved, that aren't very well known.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and it's good to learn about those too. But you know, so many of us pray the rosary, and it's often called the most powerful prayer that we have after the Mass. And why not? I mean, Mary was the first disciple. She did God's will perfectly, and she being assumed into heaven and being there right next to her son enthroned in glory, what would he not refuse her if we ask him through Mary, as long as it's his will and her will, their wills are perfectly united. So everyone, and we encourage you to pray the rosary every day. And that book, Champions of the Rosary, is available in the EWTN religious catalog. Deb?
I know. Very nice. Bernard, thank you so much for bringing that up. I hope everybody has that in their library. Like I said before, everything that he loves, Father Donald Calloway obviously loves the rosary, and he's written Rosary Gems, other books, and it's just amazing. So anything, I would suggest anything that Father Donald Calloway writes or speaks about, you got to check it out. In fact, he's coming here to Arizona next month. I can't wait to see him. He's coming right at a church just down the street from me. So I'm going to pop in there, and he's going to speak on St. Joseph this time.
Well, send him over my way, will you? It's only about a 5-hour drive. Tell him to just pop over here real quick.
Yep, I know. Isn't that? It's true. Okay, thank you, Bernard. God bless you. We're building this library.
I know. Good suggestions today. Talking today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie about what would you recommend to build a good Catholic library. Jeffrey says, I'm also reading How to Profit from Your Faults. This is via email. He says, I also recommend The Imitation of Christ and do not recommend anything by Father James Martin. Okay. Jeffrey in Jacksonville, thank you for weighing in on those recommendations. This is Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We will be right back. Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Let us know what you think about adding a good Catholic book to your library, and maybe you can recommend one that some others of us get. 833-288-3986. Something just occurred to me, Debbie, before we go back to our next call, and that is there are some fantastic, awesome, holy, orthodox, right-on Catholic books that there are some people I wouldn't recommend them for. And the reason is this. I think of St. Alphonsus Liguori. He wrote a book called The Glories of Mary. If you got a non-Catholic who's kind of nibbling at the edges of the Catholic Church, that's the type of book you wouldn't lead with, because he really lays it on so beautifully, the glory of our Blessed Mother. And it's all true. It's all theological. But maybe not a good starting point for someone, you know, who's just simply looking at the Catholic faith, something maybe like Father Calloway's book or something. So I just offer that because there are books that we can give to certain groups of people, certain mm-hmm. types of people, and there are some that maybe we should wait on a little bit, but they're all very, very good. It just depends on, I think, a person's level of knowledge of the Catholic faith and their readiness to receive certain books.
Well, it's interesting you're saying that, because actually, you know, you brought up Father Donald Calloway. You know, his books are so deep on the rosary. Actually, a couple people felt that way when they were first circulating. I think it was Rosary Gems that he wrote. People said, you know, you probably wouldn't give that to somebody who's just starting to be introduced, because it was almost too much, too quick to absorb and to really understand until you progressed more in your understanding of the devotion of the rosary. So yeah, that I think that could be true for a lot of books. I know that even, you know, Trent Horn, I love him to pieces. He's so brilliant, so smart, that, you know, sometimes people will say, well, I grasp everything he says. And some folks will say, I have to work at that a little bit, you know? So it depends on where people are at in on their faith journey.
Absolutely. We're going to find out more of the books that you recommend now on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Maria is our next caller listening on Guadalupe Radio in Plano, Texas. Hi, Maria. Thank you for calling us here on this Monday program.
Hi, Jerry and David. God bless you, too. You're so wonderful. You are God sent, little shepherds, you prophets that you are.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, the book, I know that we all have some sufferings. I have a lot of sufferings, which I used to be scared and worried, but now I found out that my sufferings is a privilege, and that I am blessed if I'm suffering, because I'm suffering united with the Lord. So the book I recommend is The Meaning of Suffering, which is Peter Kress.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, there are a number of books by that title. But Peter Kraft is certainly one of the most respected. Yeah, one of the most respected writers that our generation and the church has seen, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I love everything that Peter Kraft has written. Maria, thank you so much. And actually, we're getting a lot of comments coming in. People are just saying they love you, Maria. They can just feel your spirit through your phone call. They just love you and the joy that is just coming through you. So thank you for being named after the Blessed Mother. That's a beautiful thing. And thank you for sharing this book. And you're right. A lot of us, I think we're all going through some level of suffering. Some are carrying multiple crosses right now, and it's a tough thing, and the more we can learn about it, the more we can unite our suffering to the passion of Jesus, the more we can get through it, and it has a definite merit for us here on earth and for eternity. So Maria, thank you so much, and thank you for the kind words. We needed to hear those today, so you were the perfect person to call in to Take Two.
Bye.
Okay, thanks, Maria. Goodbye.
Bye, Maria.
Yeah, and books like that are very, very important. See, there's every type of book that we could read to bolster our Catholic faith. But Debbie, you made the point. I believe there's so much suffering going on in the world. And as God has asked me to go through a few things, and you, Debbie, and we kind of lean on each other, and we lean on the Take-Two family, and they lean on us, it's so important to understand. And by the way, Peter Kreef's book, I believe the title is Making Sense Out of Suffering, that Maria recommended. Maria, great suggestion. And I really believe if every one of us knew the good that can come from our suffering, we would more readily embrace it and actually be even joyful. You look at Mother Teresa, Debbie, she talked about in one of somebody's book, wrote about her the last, 30 years of her life. She had no consolation, just lived in desolation and darkness, but she smiled, she laughed, she was happy, she was joyful. She said, a sad sister is a bad sister. How could somebody do that unless they understand the good that suffering brings about?
Right, a deeper understanding. Yeah. That's why it's important that we continually be well formed in the faith, understand things better, because this can be a difficult life if we don't understand that there's a greater meaning to things. So very interesting, Jerry. Let's move to Carol, and Carol is in Lafayette, Louisiana on Ave Maria Radio. Hi, Carol. Thank you for waiting and welcome.
Hi, Debbie. I want to recommend Come Lord Jesus. It's a Catholic study, a Bible study for small faith groups in your community. It's recommended for about 10 to 12 people. It's focused on the Sunday readings. And so Father Conley Bertrand was truly inspired by the Holy Spirit to write this series. There are 3 volumes. It's actually a 9-year study if you go all the way through it. And I've just begun the study with a group of people, just friends. We get together once a week. We read our Bible, and we're studying the Gospels. So we'll read the upcoming Sunday Gospel. We'll discuss it. He's got beautiful questions that really lead you into understanding what the Gospel is about. And then he also has a commentary included that you can read his thoughts. And the lovely thing about it is everybody, you know, has thoughts about it, and we discuss it. And it teaches you how to live it. You know, what are you going to do this week to live out this, testimony of Christ? And then the next great step is when you go to Mass, you get to hear the priest speak on the exact same thing that you talked about earlier in the week. So it's really a great way to deepen your understanding of the Bible in a real simple format, easy to understand. It doesn't take hours and hours. We spend probably 30 minutes at best in the, you know, studying, and then about an hour in discussion when we get together. It's really been one of the best things I've done since I've retired, and I encourage people to look into it. It's fabulous.
Wow. Thanks, Carol, for bringing this to our attention, being something that was developed in the Diocese of Lafayette. I had not heard of it. I don't know if Debbie had either, but it's one of those things that certainly takes root in a local area like your church, the Diocese of Lafayette. And I found this online, and what I really appreciate about this is it's talking about the author, you said, Father Conley Bertrand, and it says, graced with a love for prayer and scripture and an ardent zeal, he sought to communicate these qualities to his parishioners. Come, Lord Jesus, is the fruit of many years of prayer, reflection on sacred scriptures, and experimentation. So, Debbie, it sounds like it is born out of a very, very deep and rich spiritual life by this father.
Yeah, and you were saying it's really was geared for a 9-year study. And see, this is amazing to me because, Carol, for folks that were willing to take that on for so many years, they are really serious about getting closer to God. They're really serious about understanding their faith. And that's a beautiful thing. And if you've listened to the show before, you've heard me say it many times, adult faith formation, it's not something we can just kind of stick our toe in the water. You know, we have to go 100% and dive into the deep end if we really want a better understanding of this amazing God we serve. So it sounds like, you know, this is can be an intense study, as well, Carol, in a good way.
And the amazing thing about this, Debbie and Jerry, it has been around for 50 years, and it is continuing to grow in our area. It's actually going international. And so we're hoping the word gets out because it is such a great way for people that didn't go to Catholic school, which I am one of those, to really grow in your faith and not be afraid of going to the Bible because you don't understand. It really opens the door to understanding.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. I'm glad you shared it with us.
Yes, yeah, so am I, because, Debbie, so many of us. Yeah, thanks, Carol. I don't take full enough advantage of preparing to go to Mass by reading the scriptures ahead of time. I will often do that when I like to get to Mass, whether it's weekday Mass or Sunday Mass, about an hour ahead of time so I can have some time to pray. And part of that, Debbie, is, and you've done this too, I know, is reading the readings ahead mm-hmm. of time.
Yep.
And that's beautiful. For those who do that, you know, in the minutes or 30 minutes or half an hour before Mass, that's great. But if we could all get in the habit of doing it, say, the Friday before you go to Sunday Mass, or even throughout that week, you know, be reading it as a family, I think that would really help make the scriptures come alive as they are proclaimed in the celebration of the Mass. So, great call yep. from Carol.
And we're getting a lot of thank you, Carol. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. We're getting a lot of comments coming in via text and on social media, and any which way you can find us on Take Two. You can also email us, take2@ewtn.com. But Janet from Tonawanda, New York, on the Station of the Cross said, Rome, sweet home, Dr. Scott Hahn. Anything, Scott Hahn, Dr. Scott Hahn writes, absolutely amazing. You can find a lot of his work on ewtnrc.com. Also, our friend Marianne, who's a Take Two family member, says she's getting a lot out of The Life of Mary as Seen by the Mystics by Raphael Brown, and it has the imprimatur, the Catholic imprimatur, and the inside cover. So The Life of Mary as Seen by the Mystics. See, a lot of folks are taking it on and learning different aspects of the faith and growing deeply in love with our Lord and his mother, and that's a wonderful thing, Jerry. That's a good thing. We're going in the right direction, I think.
Yeah, that book, The Life of Mary, is Seen by the Mystics. There are accounts of encounters between our Blessed Mother and people like Venerable Anne Catherine Emmerich, St. Bridget of Sweden, St. Elizabeth of Schunau, I'm not sure if I said that right, Venerable Mary of Agreda. So, so many of the saints have had, apparitions, personal encounters with mm-hmm. the Blessed Virgin, with Jesus. You hear about St. Faustina, of course, and all the interactions she had with our Lord himself. So these are beautiful. They're inspiring, Debbie, because it does happen. Not to most of us, certainly. I'm probably never going to happen in my life, but if we can all read about these things, it just shows the care, I think the care and love that God has for each and every one of us.
And I think what's beautiful about having this conversation today and having everybody participate to build our Catholic library is, you know, we're hearing from the world, Jerry. When you turn on the secular, you know, news and reports and things like that, you hear, what do you hear, Jerry? The faith is dead. The faith's not dead. Okay. The faith's not dead. Folks are really diving in deep and learning more about God and growing in their faith. So this is very encouraging to have this conversation. Let's hear what Frank has to say in Boston, Massachusetts, also listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Frank. Welcome.
Hi. Good afternoon. I had a favorite book, recently. It was called City of Saints. And this was a book about, Pope John Paul II's early years in life in Poland, where he grew up during the Nazi regime. And it's a fascinating account of how he survived, being first a priest and then his seminary work, and how he joined the underground Nazi resistance movement. And the great thing, it's a historical biography, so you learn an awful lot about the Catholic Church in Poland and how much it did over the centuries to overcome its oppression from many different groups, and most recently, the last century, the communists and the fascists. And it's really a good biography about how the Pope, how he became who he was and what he did. So it's an excellent geographical biography, too. It tells a lot about the story behind the story of many of the Catholic institutions in Poland.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, this book was the author of that George Weigel? Is that the George Weigel book?
Yes, that's the book, right.
Okay. Yeah, George Weigel has written voluminously on many things, but his beautiful book, Witness to Hope, about Pope John Paul II, and this one, City of Angels, and it's subtitled A Pilgrimage to John Paul II's Krakow, and it's by George Weigel. So, yeah, Debbie, I think if anyone, there were a lot of people qualified to write on Pope St. John Paul II, but George Weigel certainly is among the elite of those people.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know who else is a fabulous author is our friend, Matthew Bunsen. Dr. Matthew Bunsen. Don't you agree?
I'm laughing, yeah, because he would get this question out of me, just like Father Benedict Groeschel. What did you do after dinner? You just went to your room and wrote another book, or what?
I know.
Because he's the author co-author of over 50 books. Yeah,
right. The one he wrote on Pope Francis. I mean, he's just amazing, Dr. Bunsen. And he's a regular on EWTN, so that's awesome. So you get to hear him as well. Okay, any more social media coming in? Because I've got more texts coming in.
Just wanted to thank Frank for the phone call. Thank you, Frank.
Thank you, Frank. Hey, Frank, we're going to be in the Boston area in August. Can we say that real quickly?
Yeah, let's give a little plug for that.
Okay, so we're going to be visiting. Why don't you tell about the shrines we're going to be visiting? But I just wanted to say it'll be in August, mid-August, we're going to be there. And it's kind of like your own pilgrimage, but we'll be there. So it's an informal pilgrimage, but we're all going to get together.
Yeah, well, this kind of started with a personal situation in my life, and I promised the Lord as a thank you I would make a trip to the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy. That's in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And I mentioned that to Debbie, and you know how our minds work. We always are thinking, this has got to be something bigger than just myself going there. So Debbie said she would be interested in going, and why don't we maybe mention it to our listeners and see if there's some interest. So we've gotten dozens of you who have emailed who want to be kept informed. So that's the stage where it is right now. It's in the information stage, the development stage, but we're looking at possibly arriving in Albany or somewhere around there, Albany, New York, Boston, around August 15th, the Feast of the Assumption. Mm-hmm. There's a beautiful St. Mary's Church there, right near the Shrine of the North American Martyrs in Orrisville, New York. And that would be our Thursday stop and spend the day there. Friday would be at the National Shrine of the Divine Mercy in Stockbridge. Saturday. Friday would be Orrisville, Saturday would be Stockbridge. And then we're hoping to, for those who can stay around or live in the New England area, Debbie, we're hoping to have a parish to speak at on Sunday night.
Sunday evening around the Boston area. So, Frank, maybe we'll get to meet you in person. Thank you again for the great call and the great suggestions. Jerry, are we going to the Shrine of the North American Martyrs? I thought we were. Are we? Is that the one in?
I just said in Orrisville, yeah.
Oh, that's the one. Okay. I just want to make sure because that's on my bucket list.
Well, again, as Debbie started to say, it's an informal pilgrimage in the sense that we don't have a package put together and there's not like this one price where you get your rooms and your meals. Debbie and I are going to be at all these places and we will spend all the time in the world with you if you want to join us. We want you to be a part of it, but it's just kind of everyone. You get there yourself, you take care of your own lodging, meals, things like that. We're hoping to set up a few cool little things like maybe a group meal or some private masses, and certainly our group will pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet at the shrine. So if you want information on that, it's not 100%. I'd say it's about 90% right now. We're working on some details. Just send an email to take2@ewtn.com, and it would be a thrill, a blessing, an honor to have you with us yet to any part of this trip or all of it. So take2@ewtn.com.
Okay, next up is Sharon, and it's saying here Sharon is in Circleville, Ohio on St. Gabriel Radio. I hope I have that right. Hi, Sharon. Welcome.
Thank you. I have a couple of books. Fatima for Today by Father Andrew Apostoli, mm-hmm. A wonderful book. It tells all about Fatima, the history, and it's just a wonderful book. And another one is A Friar's Tale, Remembering Father Benedict Groeschel, CFR. That book is by John Collins and tells a lot about Father Benedict's life and who he met from the beginning of his time before he was a friar and then later on. And the last book I'd like to recommend is Discerning Religious Life by Sister Claire Matias. She's also CFR. And the foreword is by Cardinal Timothy Dolan.
Wonderful. What was the name of the last one there, Sharon?
Discerning Religious Life. And I must say, that's our daughter.
Oh, well, congratulations,
wow. Yes.
Not only on having an author in the family, but a religious. That is wonderful, isn't it, Debbie? We love
yes.
to hear this.
Oh, I love that. I'm so glad you shared that with us. Thank you so very much. That is so cool. Even Ryan, our call screener, just said, how cool is that? We just love that, Sharon. Thank you for making those suggestions. Yeah, beautiful.
Real quickly.
And there's a movie, too, that she helped out on. It's For Love Alone, and you can look it up on the computer and see a trailer on it.
Well, and Sharon, you probably know because of my apostolate vocation boom and Debbie's love for the priesthood and both of our love for religious vocations, I got to ask you, who is that book targeted to? I mean, there are people listening right now that may be interested in getting that because it's so important that young people, as they grow up and mature, that they are discerning their call in life. So your daughter,
yes,
God bless her.
Targeted toward women.
For women, okay.
For women,
Women who are thinking about entering the convent but don't know how to go about it, and it tells Sister Claire's story about how she came to hear her call.
Fantastic. Beautiful. Very good. That is awesome. I hope that anybody who that's on Amazon, I presume, Sharon, I would guess.
I'm sure it is. Yeah. I can't think of it's Vianney Publications.
Oh, Vianney Vocations. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really great because I interviewed Father Benedict Rochelle and Father Andrew Hofer recently for Vocation Boom Radio, and they are Dominican priests in the Eastern Province here in the U.S., and they have co-authored a book called A Living Sacrifice, Guidance for Men Discerning Religious Life. So now, Debbie, we got the 1-2 punch there with the book by Fathers Kroll and Hofer, and now Sharon's daughter, so...
Wow.
A lot of good resources developing out there. Vianney Vocations is great. Just go to viannevocations.com.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sharon, so very much. Did you say you interviewed? Well, that wasn't recently because Father Benedict Rochelle has long gone.
Did I say Kroll? I said Kroll,
you said,
Father Benedict Kroll.
Oh, I thought you said Father Benedict Rochelle. Okay, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. If it
Maybe
must be
I had a dream about that.
I was saying he's enjoying his eternal rewards.
He always was one of my favorite interviews, though.
Me too.
Great sense
of humor. But if he came back for an interview, that would definitely be newsworthy. Okay,
yeah.
Can I just share real quickly, Jerry? Because we're going to be running out of time. Two of my favorite books. I have to share Marty's favorite book. It is, drum roll, "Behold the Man" by Deacon Harold Burke Sivers about male spirituality. Loves it. "Behold the Man," and that's on EWTNRC.com, I'm sure. And then mine, Jerry, is one of my favorites, and you know it. It's your dear friend, Tim Staples, "Behold Your Mother." "Behold Your Mother" about the Marian doctrines. And I'll tell you what, Tim Staples did a fabulous job on that book. Love it.
Beautiful. Yeah, he sure did. Okay, we need another call or two here. Did you have more, Deb? I don't want to...
No. I just wanted to make sure I got that all covered.
Okay. We'll try to get to all of you if we can. Russell next in New Bedford, Massachusetts, listening on Radio Cor Mariae. Hello, Russell. Welcome to Take Two.
Hi. Good afternoon. So nice to speak with you. I just want to recommend a Pope and a President. It's also on EWTN, but Paul Kenger. It's just a fantastic book about Reagan in St. John Paul the Great. It's just a historical perspective, and it's amazing. In the Russian influence and the takedown of the wall and communism, it really is a great book. It's a great read.
Russell, what was your core nugget takeaway from that book? I know Reagan and John Paul had a very interesting relationship and a lot of common causes between the two of them, and accomplished a lot in world history. What was if you had kind of a nugget takeaway, what would it be?
It's just extraordinary. I was probably in my teens when this all occurred, you know, late 70s, early 80s, and I didn't realize how historic what was going on with Reagan and St. John Paul. You know, they changed the world, and there were so many people against them. I mean, they both, they were both the assassination attempts on them. This came so close to not happening. And then, they also tried to put scandal on St. John Paul and other things. But it just shows you that they persevered and they stayed with it. And the Polish people were the ones that really pushed the end of communism.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Russell, you know, thank you for mentioning this because we're actually getting a lot of text messages that are coming in very quickly, confirming exactly what you said about this book and saying, yes, it's a must read. So thank you for sharing that with us today on Take Two. We appreciate it.
Just so lucky to have lived through this. You know, my kids went to St. John Paul High School down in Dumfries, Virginia, the Dominican school. Just this man was incredible, and we experienced him. He was here during our lifetime, which is amazing.
Yeah, he was. He probably is throughout my entire life the favorite pope that we had. I saw him several times. I had dreams about him. A very fatherly figure. I had a dream one time of him just embracing me in a fatherly embrace, which you know was certainly it was healing for me to have that dream. So, Russell, thank you so much. We appreciate that, Debbie. We have had tons of email and social medias today, and we just simply won't get to all of them. But, gosh, I'm looking at a list of at least 20 to 25 people who have emailed. So we'll try and get back to each and every one of you, but we need to do an after show on this next time we do it.
We truly do. Do you want to share, though, highlight Doug Keck's bookmark?
Oh,
because
yeah.
That's, I love that, because that's a chance for everybody to preview the books that are on EWTNRC.
That's right. Doug Keck does a program called Catholic Bookmark with Doug Keck. It's Saturdays at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Eastern Time. Mm-hmm. So check that out on EWTN television and probably on many of these EWTN affiliate radio stations as well.
It's really great. I mean, he asks just great questions about the books, and it just makes you feel like you're understanding when you purchase it, you're getting what you thought you were getting. So that's a great thing. Sorry, Mary and Pat and the others, we're not going to get to you. Pat was just saying Deep Adventure, Way of Heroic Virtue by Bear Wozniak. I love Bear Wozniak. We had to mention him because he's a friend as well, Pat. Thank you so
he's
much.
Awesome.
And the others. Yeah, Jerry, this was definitely an after show topic.
Yeah, and we're hoping to do the next one on Wednesday, so keep that in your prayers when we revisit the opioid epidemic tomorrow. However, that didn't hurt a bit. Tell us about when you went back to confession after some period of time. You were worried, you were afraid, this is going to be embarrassing, I'm going to be ashamed, I have to go in there and say my sins. But you came out and you said, wow, that didn't hurt a bit, but maybe it felt really good. That's what we're doing tomorrow, Deb.
Until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.